So we want to turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 is where we'll be for tonight. And tonight will be something fairly basic. But of course, as we have for a theme for our church this year, it is back to basics. I do believe that the Lord would have me just rehearse with you some simple things that will help you, hopefully, in your Christian life, some things that will help you to grow a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and we'll look at verse 16. And by the way, I should ask that. Yeah, is there anybody that needs a pen? Oh boy, now we're really opening up a can of worms. Oh, there's a couple over there. The Reyes family doesn't believe in pens. All right. Anybody else? Oh, yeah, and Bob either. He doesn't believe in them either, so he'll need one. So the two for the Reyes, one for Bob. Anybody else? Anybody else that's ready to be picked on? All right, very good. Good. No, everyone's afraid to raise their hand now. What's Pastor going to say now? All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. Let's look at that passage of Scripture and follow along with me as I read it out loud. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." One of the areas of going back to basics this year for our church is the area of Bible reading. And I want to encourage you to be in the Bible and to read the Bible. I want to encourage parents to teach your children and start the habit in them early while they're young of daily reading God's Word. One of the things that I thought about as I was praying over different things and what to preach to you was that it might be wise for me to share some things with you that I've learned about Bible reading, and I did get some thoughts as well from other pastors, and I want to share some thoughts with you. Now, some of what I'm going to give you tonight, in fact, a decent amount, will be opinion, my opinion of how you ought to run your Bible reading time. Please know that these are not rules, okay? I am not your high priest. Have you figured that out yet? You wouldn't want me as your high priest, okay? I'm not the one that you need to go to. I'm not also not your spiritual guru, okay? But God has taught me some things, and I do have the opportunity and the privilege to be in the office of your pastor, the person that God has given responsibility to watch and care for your soul and to warn you of things and to advise you and to help you. And so I hope that you'll take these things and at least strongly consider them. Some of the things that I will say tonight, maybe you wouldn't even agree with, but I would encourage you to listen and prayerfully consider. And if you're not sure, and if it's just a matter of preference, then let me encourage you, lean on my side of the preference rather than your own. Because I think that what I will give you tonight is wise, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll talk about this and we'll get right into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving me the privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and share with your people your word. And now, dear Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I do that, especially as I talk about the passage of Scripture that we're using as a text, but also, Lord, in the things that you've given me for advice to give to your people. Help me to do so in a kind and gracious way, and yet a way that will be a help, I ask. And I thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, very good. I would say this too, by the way, if anyone is in the foyer and you're able to come into the auditorium, let me encourage you to do that this time. Now would be a good time to do that. If you're able to be in the auditorium, make sure that you are. If you can, I understand, but if you're able to, please do so. So our text here is 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, one that many of you probably could quote with me. I know I learned it at an early age, probably while we had Awana here back in the day. I think I learned these verses, and they are very good verses for us to learn. But I want you to think about what the Word of God says. Number one, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed the Scripture. That means it comes from God's heart. It comes from God's mouth. It is His words. The whole idea of it being God breathed is, yes, human pens wrote it down, but it is the same as if God was the one, the very one speaking it in your ear or my ear. It is God-breathed. We call that the inspiration of the Scripture. But then it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I want you to understand tonight that the Word of God is profitable. It's something that you need. It's something that will help you. It's something that will be of profit to you. So I hope and I trust that you'll love it. As I pray for you on a daily basis, one of the things I try to pray for you about is that God would draw you to His Word, that you would have a hunger and a desire for His Word, that you would want to be in it, that it wouldn't be a drudgery or something that you have to do, but something you would want to do. And the reason I pray that for you is because the Word of God is profitable for you. And here's where it's profitable. It says in verse 16, it's profitable for doctrine. That means teaching. Doctrine is a good thing. You ought to know what the Bible says, and doctrine is important. Doctrine determines destiny, I heard a pastor once say. And it does. What you believe affects where you will end up, because you're going to act according to the way that you believe. And then when you act according to the way that you believe, you're going to end up at a certain destination. So it does make a difference what you believe. Well, your doctrine ought to come from God's Word, right? It's profitable for doctrine, but not just that, it's reproof. That's God coming along with the Word of God and saying, you're doing wrong. And God does that through His Word. Not only reproof, but for correction. That means God comes along with His Word and said, you've been doing it wrong, and now here's what you should do to correct your mistake. And then the last thing that it's profitable for is instruction in righteousness. The Word of God then comes along and says, this is how you should go as you proceed forward. The Word of God is profitable for all these things. And then verse 17, that the man of God may be, what's the word there? Perfect. That the man of God may be, let's say it together, perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. God wants you to be perfect. That does not mean that you're sinless. That means that you have everything that you need for this life. And God has that for you in His Word. God wants you to be prepared for this life and have all that you need. It is in here. We are facing very difficult days. We are facing days that are very unusual. We need God's Word. God wants you, and by the way, God has provided for you everything you need right here in God's Word, everything that you need to be prepared for the future. So as we look at that, as we think about that now, let's talk about, if we know that we need to be reading God's Word, let me give you some helps, and I'll give you 7 tips that hopefully will improve your Bible reading, okay? Follow along with me. Some of you, this will be very basic, okay? But number one, set a time that you dedicate to Bible reading and prayer. Set a time. In other words, have a specific time. Listen, if you don't have a specific time, it won't happen. Your life gets too busy. If your life is anything like mine, now there are a few, I suppose, maybe in our congregation, in our church, that you don't have a whole lot going on in your life, you have extra time, and all of that, maybe it wouldn't be that way for you, but the vast majority of people, life is coming at you at 100 miles an hour, it feels like. And if you do not have a time that is set aside, it will not happen. Let me encourage you, pick a time. Get a time. Whatever it takes, develop a time. Listen, you need this more than anything. You need God's Word. Just as a doctor would tell you if you were malnourished, boy, you need to have a time that you set aside to eat. You ought to be eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or at least lunch and dinner, right? Something like that. You need to be eating at least 3 times a day. A doctor would tell you if you were malnourished. Boy, you need to get some food in you, so have a specific time. Spiritually, you need this food, so have a specific time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I just wonder if I asked how many of you have a specific time and you could stand right now and name that time of day for me. Not, well, just sometime, you know, late in the evening, but I mean, I have a time. It is in my schedule. This is when I read the Word of God. I wonder how many could stand and give a specific time. If you don't, let me encourage you, you need that. You need a specific time. Number 2, determine an amount of time. Determine an amount of time, all right? So if you have a time set aside, then determine an amount of time that you're going to spend. So base that on a passage of scripture that I want to share with you. Let's look at Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 14 to 21. We need to move along quickly here. But in Exodus 16, verse 14 to 21, we're going to learn the pattern that God gave to the children of Israel to get manna every morning. Now, we don't have time to look at Deuteronomy 8:3, but in Deuteronomy 8:3, we learn that manna is really a picture of God's word. And I would encourage you, it's in your notes, but you can look that up later. It is a picture of God's word. So in Exodus chapter 16, verse 14, notice what God's word tells us. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it, that means to measure it, with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning, or till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every man according, gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. A couple of things about that. Notice under small letter A, the Roman numeral 2 there, they were to gather according to their eating. The Word of God says a couple of times there, they were to gather the manna according to their eating. Here's what that means. Each person's eating was different. Have you noticed that, not everybody eats the same? I remember, especially when my wife and I were dating, she still is this way, but when she and I were dating especially, she ate like a bird. We'd go out and order something, you know, whatever, from a place called, hold on now, Brahms. How many of you know what Brahms is? I know Jana knows, she raised her hand right away. There's a couple, Caleb does. Brahms is an excellent place to get a burger. If you're ever down in Oklahoma or Texas, boy, that's a good place. They have good ice cream too. But we'd go to Brahms on a double date, and we'd order something, and she'd barely eat anything, and I would eat mine, and then she would offer me hers, and I thought, this is a great deal. I'm going to marry this girl, right? I mean, I'm taking her out on a date, and I'm getting extra food. This is awesome. That's why I married her. That and a few other things, all right? But every man's eating is different. Would you notice this as well about eating? Do you know that in your life, there are times where you eat more than other times? If you've ever had a job where it was stressful and you worked very hard physically, especially when you were young, perhaps some of you maybe even were in the military, you were about 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe in boot camp or maybe even beyond boot camp, and there was difficulty and hard work and all of that. I have not been there, but I've talked to my brothers, and one brother specifically told me I was an eating machine when I was in boot camp, he told me. And he said, I thought of myself, I was just a processor of food. And he was about 18, 19 years old. Well, most 18, 19-year-olds are that way. And especially you put them in the military, and that's the way they are. But now that same brother is much older, doesn't have the physical activity that he did then, doesn't eat nearly like he did when he was 20 years old. And in the military. Why? Because his life is different. At each time, it's different. Every man in Exodus 16 took according to his eating, okay? So let's look at the little bullet points under Roman numeral 2. Each person will be different. Read as much as you can and still absorb. So in other words, the amount of Bible reading that I do might be different than yours. The amount of reading that you do might be different than somebody else's. We give you a pattern here in the bulletin that we give, 10 chapters. For some, that's a lot. For others, that's nothing. I've heard from one person, boy, I tried it and it's just too much and I wasn't able to do it. I heard from another person that said, wow, that's like nothing. It takes me no time at all and I do other reading. Each person's different. But you know that the Word of God nowhere prescribes a certain amount that you're supposed to read every day. Have you noticed that? Each man according to his eating. So read as much of the Word of God as you can and still be able to absorb it, okay? And then each day may be different. Read as much as you need for that day. Some seasons of life, you're going to need more. When you're going through sickness or hardship or a stressful time or maybe worry or care or concern or whatever, you may need more, but you're going to have to base that and judge that on your life. You're going to have to be spiritually mature and make those decisions based on your life, okay? But determine an amount of time that you will read. Notice as well regarding Exodus 16, this is Roman numeral 3 in your notes, what they gathered did not last to the next day. Did you notice that? They tried in Exodus 16 to take that manna and put it in a pot and hold it over to the next day so they wouldn't have to get up so early and go gather the food. Did you notice that they did that? And what happens? It bred worms and it what? Stank, exactly, like a teenage boy, okay? It stank. Why? God's trying to teach us manna doesn't last to the next day. You can't read God's Word today and read extra and say, well, I'll skip tomorrow. You can't tomorrow get up and say, oh, never mind, I read a lot yesterday, I was in church last night, I don't need to worry about God's Word today. No, it doesn't work that way. You need to daily get what you need, okay? And then, Roman numeral 4 under letter A, if they did not gather it early, it disappeared. If they did not gather it early, it disappeared. The Bible tells us that the manna, if they waited... Well, it doesn't use those words. But when the sun waxed hot, what happened to the manna? It melted. That's an illustration that God's giving us. That, listen, if you wait till later in the day, you're not getting all that you should be getting out of your Bible reading. Again, some of this is my opinion, but I think I can base it pretty strongly on the example that God gives us in His Word of manna. If you're waiting till 11 o'clock, noon, 1 o'clock, 6 p.m., whatever... It's up to you. There's no rules. But I'm telling you, you're not getting as much out of it as you could. God wants to be first in your life. First. God wants you to get up in the morning and go talk to Him before you talk to anybody else. I'm not saying that you can't kiss your wife on the lips before you go have your devotional time. I'm not saying that, all right? But I'm saying God wants to be first. So we... learn this from God's Word. Determine an amount of time. Also, letter B under number 2, you can choose an amount of time to read or an amount of chapters. Either one would be fine. So maybe you read for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour or an hour or whatever. Maybe you choose an amount of chapters like we have in the bulletin where it's 10 chapters a day. Whatever it is, but have some kind of a plan like that, all right? Letter C, that leads me to that. Have a reading plan of some kind. Avoid just opening the Bible to a random passage every day. Let me repeat that. Avoid just saying, well, I don't really have a plan. I just kind of open the Bible and wherever my hand falls, I read. There's nothing wrong with that from time to time, but if that's all that you do in the course of your devotional time, you're lacking. You need a well-rounded diet physically. Would you agree with me there? You need a well-rounded diet. You shouldn't just be eating carbohydrates. You shouldn't just be eating meat. You shouldn't just be eating vegetables. I know some people are probably mad at me for saying one of those, okay? But I think God designed us, and I'm not a dietitian, but I think I know enough to know that God designed us to eat a well-rounded diet. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. There's a reason why God has the Psalms in here. There's a reason why He has the prophets, both major and minor. There's a reason why He has the Gospels. And there's a reason why He has the general epistles and the book of Revelation and the Pentateuch. They all serve a purpose. And you need a well-rounded diet. And if you just open up the Bible somewhere and read, you're going to have a tendency to always be reading in the same general places. And if you want to really know God, need to read all of His Word because it's all given by inspiration and it's all profitable. Let's move on to number 3. Point number 1 was set a time that you dedicate. Number 2, determine an amount of time. Number 3, pray before you begin that God will open up your eyes. Pray before you begin. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That was the psalmist praying that God would open his eyes. Let me encourage you to do that as you pray. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to see with spiritual eyes. Lord, take away the lack of focus that I have. I don't know if there's anybody in here that struggles with focus more than I do. There's probably many of you that struggle like I do. I don't know if there's any that struggle as much as I do. I struggle with focus. I can't tell you how many times, and this is pretty much every morning as I read God's Word, I'll read a couple of verses. Next thing you know, I'm 10 verses in, and I have to stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was thinking about what I'm doing today while I'm reading your Word, and I got to go back. I mean, and that just doesn't happen once. It happens all the time. It happens several times throughout my devotional time. I struggle with focus. I imagine many of you do as well. I need to pray and ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to focus. Don't let Satan distract me. Open my eyes that I may behold those wondrous things. Number four, approach it as God's Word. You might say, Pastor, of course it's God's Word. Of course I'm going to approach it as God's Word. Let me encourage you, approach it as God's Word. You might say, Pastor, what does that mean? What do you mean by approach it as God's Word? Well, first of all, reduce distractions, i.e., digital devices, children, you know who you are, children. I'm speaking specifically to Julianne and Rachel, all right? Television and anything else that would be a distraction. Why? Because it's God's Word. Listen, if somebody very important were coming to your house, in fact, I would say somebody that's not even that important, but just somebody you love. For instance, if I were coming to your house and I came to you and said, Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, I want to come over and I want to talk to you about something. And I came over and I was in your living room and the television was on, I know all of you enough to know you'd have the courtesy to turn it off. I wouldn't even have to ask you. You'd know, no, Pastor wants to talk to me. Pastor has something to share. I'm going to turn the television off. Or if your kids were running around in between us, you'd tell them, hey, stop, kids, sit down or go play in the other room. Pastor's talking to me. Shouldn't we do that with the Lord? He's much more important than your pastor. He has what's important for you for that day. Take those distractions and get rid of them. Treat it as God's Word. God has an appointment with you. You have an appointment with God. Treat it as God's Word. Reduce those distractions. Letter B, here's where I'm going to make enemies, but that's all right. Here we go. I'm entering into the fray. Don't use an electronic device. All right, I know I've alienated half the church. Again, this is my opinion. But friends, again, I've learned a few things. I don't think it's wise for you in your Bible reading to use an electronic device. The reason is it's too much of a distraction, and by nature, I don't think you treat it the same as you do a physical Bible. Because that same digital device, you're watching movies on a couple hours later. You're playing Candy Crush on, or whatever the latest one is. I have no idea what the latest one is, right? But you're playing that while you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for, you know, the doctor to call you. You're taking calls on that device or whatever. You're sending emails. I want to encourage you to treat it as God's Word. This is something where I simply want to hear from God, and I want this to be dedicated to God's time, okay? Letter C, again, this is my opinion, but I think it's wise. Have a specific Bible that you use for your devotional time. Choose one that has a comfortable print size. Again, you know who you are. That's all I'll say there. Those of us who are a little bit older than 20, all right? We start to play the accordion bit. Don't tell anybody, but I've noticed that I do that now. I'm like, my dad used to do that. And now I notice when I'm looking at something like the cereal box and seeing what the ingredients are, I do this number. Anybody else do that besides me? Yeah. So choose a comfortable print size, okay? Not only that, this might sound a little bit funny, but Roman numeral 2, choose one that you like to hold in your hand. You might say, Pastor, that sounds a little bit funny. But you know what? I want my time with God to be something that I cherish and enjoy. So to me, this is just my opinion, it's important to me to have a Bible that I enjoy holding, that I enjoy reading. It's a pleasure. It's something that I cherish. There was a Bible, a specific Bible, that I liked the print that it had, the text, the font that it used. I liked the size of it. This was several years ago, but it was a hardcover one, and I tried it, and it just didn't work. It didn't feel the same. Sitting in my lap, it just wasn't the same. It wouldn't sit open very well. I want something that I enjoy holding in my hand. Let me encourage you, find a Bible like that for yourself. Make it something that's important to you, okay? And then number three, treat it reverently. Remember, it's God's word. Treat it reverently. I realize we are not under the law, we're under grace. But you know, one of the things I think that we ought to do is treat our Bibles with reverence. It's not that you can never have anything on the Word of God. But friends, let me encourage you. Don't put stuff on the Word of God. Whenever you have a stack of books, put the Bible on top. It's not that God's offended, I think, when the Bible's on the bottom. I don't think God's offended by it. But you know what? It's good for me to take the time and the opportunity when I have a stack of books to take the Bible and put it on top. You know what that just did for me? That just registered with me again. This book is not like any other book. You know what it did for my kids when they watched me do that? It shows my kids, listen, that book we treat differently than any other book. It's not just another book. It's God's Word. Let me encourage you, treat it as God's Word. Okay? Number five, attempt to understand the specific book that you're in. Letter A, who is the human writer? Who is the audience? What were the circumstances surrounding the events or writing of the book? What is the theme of the book? Those are many different things that you can go over, and there are many more. But before you start a book, try to understand what is it about this book. I remember when I was younger, growing up in a pastor's home and reading the Word of God, and my dad would have us read the Bible. I didn't always understand what all these different books were. But as I got older, especially as I became a pastor and I began to study and prepare for messages, it really helped me. The Bible began to come alive for me because, oh, okay, now I understand why it's talking like that. I understand the theme behind it, and it becomes a lot more enjoyable. Let me encourage you to do that. Number six, seek not just to be inspired, but to learn. Sometimes we look at devotional time as, well, I want to get something that will inspire me for the day. That's fine. God's Word does have inspiration in it. And there's encouragement, and there's things that we can get in it that just, boy, fire us up. Promises that we see in God's Word, and we say, oh, I can go on for another day or whatever. We read the story of David and Goliath, and we're ready to kill the giant in our life, right? Whatever it might be. There's nothing wrong with that. But not all of the Word of God is that way. But yet it is all profitable. So seek not just to be inspired, seek to learn. Seek to learn. So here's what you should learn. You should learn who God is. That's letter A, to know God. The Bible is a wonderful opportunity for you to learn and know who God is. He showed himself to you. He revealed himself in his word to you. And isn't that the whole point of the Bible? That you would know God. Letter B, to know his principles. There's so many things in our life that we do even though God never said we had to. But the Word of God has laid out principles. And we say, okay, this is a principle. Therefore, I'm going to base my life on this principle. Therefore, I do X. The Bible's full of them. Look for those things as you're reading God's Word. What are his principles? And then letter C, to claim his promises. Look for those things. Learn about it. And then number seven, read consistently based on principle, not on feeling. Okay? Get in the Word of God and do it as a habit. Every day, I have to read the Word of God. I've got to get in there, even when I don't feel like it. And then I put as letter A, just as a good relationship requires commitment in order for feelings to follow, so is your relationship to God's Word. Again, any relationship that we have, we understand it requires commitment. Otherwise, it's not really a relationship. There's some commitment in every relationship. And the really good ones have a strong commitment, marriage being the greatest example. Aren't you glad marriage isn't based on feelings? There's not a one of us that would be married past a year. And that's the truth. It's not based on feelings. It's based on a level of commitment. Well, you know what? I should definitely have that commitment with God's Word. There's so many days I don't feel like it. So many days I'd rather turn the television on than read God's Word. I'd rather look at a news story than read God's Word. I've got to just do it up based on principle. And God's not offended when I do that. Because what I'm doing is I'm saying, God, you're most important. And I know that the feelings will come if I'll put the commitment in. Just like with my wife. She knows that we have a level of commitment. That's not an offense to her. That's actually something that is an encouragement to her and lets her know how much I love her, that I've decided no matter what the feelings are, I'm with you. The same way with God's Word. I hope these things were a help to you, and I hope that God will help you to have a consistent walk with Him and reading of His Word. If you're not in there already, start tomorrow, okay? Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll let the ladies